Expo Bomb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I'm hearing voices, animal voices, the tremor of cold, the feminine others, and I'm reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind.
There's always a time.
That comes in every point of every life for every individual, man, woman, child, elder, rotting corpse in the ground, worm pox ridden kind of thing crawling out of the ground, where a turning point exists within the dichotomy of what that individual's life really represents to where they want to go in life, where they want to be in the next step, where they want to transition towards, moving towards whatever kind of goal-centric opportunities that is uppermost in their minds. It's an opportunity, and it's a time, and it's a point in which one can stretch their capabilities to somehow get outside of the small, narrowly defined box that most people in our lives always consider that's what we're stuck in. We're stuck in this little makeshift, call it, I don't know what the hell you want to call it other than a box. It really is just essentially a box that your lives get into. And then you have to try and find a way to either get out of the box, be better than the box, bigger than the box, or just say screw it and just be inside and what the box represents and just go with that. Or, as I said, sometimes in almost everybody's life at some point, they get that thing that says, hey, I gotta look bigger than that, better than that, more than that. And as everybody should know, I pretty much have that thought quite frequently, every night, every week on the show. I like to expand my thought conscious capabilities and say, hey, how can I take over the world today? I truly do want to take over the world. And I've had people ask me, why the hell would you want to take over the world? It's a shitty kind of little thing. People just, what, there's all sorts of, and I say, well, you know, quite frankly, I will fix all of those problems. Next time you have an election, I don't care what the election for is. Could be school board trustee, could be class hall monitor. Vote for me. Vote for the zombie to be put in charge of everything, and I will fix everything. There will be some people who probably won't like my fixes, and that's okay. I have opportunities and suggestions and solutions for exactly all of the parameters that they could possibly potentially pick up. I got all my P's in that words. And I could particularly dispose of some things, because I'm a big fan of recycling. It's good. It's good for the environment, it's good for people, and it's good for Soylent Green. And you know what? Bart Simpson's gonna die! Hi, EW.
And that will be the end of The Simpsons.
No, it won't.
What?
No, and they have officially said that Bart Simpson is going to die.
Yeah, but you know what? They're probably going to do like they did to...
it's a Treehouse of Horror episode.
Yeah, but they're going to do like they did to Brian.
No. This is not going to be actually he dies as a full thing. This is going to be a Treehouse of Horror episode where... what the hell's his name? Sideshow Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Finally gets to kill him. And the episode is going to be, well, shit, now what do I do? And that's going to be the whole episode. It's like, damn. I want to see that, because the dude face who's talking about the episode was, I've always been pissed off about how Wile E. Coyote could never get the Roadrunner. Never, ever, ever, ever get, always gets onto these things and never gets, well, what the hell happened? What happens if Wile E. Coyote actually got the Roadrunner and then he's fed on him and ate on him and then it was all done? It's like, then he'd have nothing left to do.
Well, there was an episode where it actually happened.
Yeah, that never aired, though.
Yeah, it did.
I never saw it.
I remember seeing it.
Yeah, I think you were dreaming.
No, the Roadrunner was really large, and so he holds up a sign. Okay, now I got him. What do I do now? It's kind of the irony of the whole deal.
Mm-hmm. Do you know Roadrunners are actually very ugly?
Yes, they are.
They're like, whoa, that's a not why this like little critter is ugly, and it's like they're just annoying.
Yeah, it doesn't even do that. Tongue sticking out, nothing.
Meep, meep.
Yeah, well, I mean,
yeah, it doesn't do that. So none of that.
So disappointed.
Yeah, I know. So, I watched Flash, the rest of Flash.
Uh-huh, what'd you think?
It was okay. Okay, if you haven't watched it by now, I'm going to spoiler alert the crap out of you, so you've watched it, right?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Totally, the whole coincidence thing was like, oh, great, way to foreshadow that. I can see what he's going to do. I know it. He's going to, and it was like, oh, yeah, okay, he did it right there. See? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yep.
The gunshot?
Yep.
Yeah, it's like, that's so coming, was coming. I saw that coming. It was cool, because that's actually a very dark thing.
Yeah, but... I mean, I guess it is like you said. You know, it was...
Oh, they foreshadowed the hell out of that with, what's-his-face, the old professor guy saying, do you know what you are? You're a theorist of philosophicals. You're the thing that we all want to see. You're a coincidence.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man, you put that much work effort into a wordplay that, no, there's something about that.
Yeah, that was one of those moments that, you know, if you didn't see that coming, you were blind.
Exactly. However, the coolest thing, did you see the little hat that got thrown out of the hole and said, oh, what's that? That's my cue to go.
Yes.
Did you recognize the hat?
I do remember the hat, but I for the life of me, and I didn't go and do my research on this because I was like, well, I'll just kind of wait. But yeah,
that's the 50s Flash.
Yeah, see, I was thinking it was either that or the
little lightning bolts on the side. That's the symbol for Mercury.
I knew that looked familiar.
Yes, that whole thing is that's basically supposed to. It's a metal helmet or whatever, and that was the original Flash's helmet. I just got a kick out. I was like, oop, yep, that's my time to go. And the whole line about Rip Torn and his making the time travel device. Yeah, nobody's made this since Rip Torn. He'd probably be impressed. Looks good. That was funny as hell, too, because that's a lead into the Legends of Tomorrow series.
Right.
Which, if you caught the shot, it's in the time tunnel thing as Wally West was the other Flash. Barry Allen's trip back down to the past, there was the one Flash scene of them fighting in the generator room.
Right. Well, we've talked about it before, and I don't know anyone. Yeah, this what I'm about to say. We have. We've talked about it before, where the father, who he actually is or was.
Yeah, he's the original Flash from the original TV series.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get a kick out of that.
I do too, which gets me even more, makes me even laugh even more because, you know, he's like, well, you know, think about what Flash would do. And I'm just like, really?
Exactly. What would Flash do? WWFD.
Yep. It was just, to me, that was just too good of a line right there.
The best line I've ever seen as a one-liner like that was Amanda taping in MacGyver first episode of the first season of the first series that they did for Stargate. Oh, don't worry about it, Colonel. We'll just MacGyver something up together.
Oh, yes. I forgot
the
that.
The straight line. Look on his face and her face was like, she just gives it like, what? Oh, okay. Perfect. I love that line. Because if you're not familiar with who MacGyver is, you wouldn't figure that out. But if you were familiar with who MacGyver was, you'd know he's MacGyver.
That's right.
And the expression is part of canon for the English language right now.
Yeah.
It's just cool shit. I love that kind of thing. That's the kind of stuff that makes me happy in my happy places.
Oh.
Not that happy place. That's a different happy place.
Oh, okay.
There's more than one happy place in the zombie land.
I hope so.
Many, 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 many happy lands. So I also saw Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. last episodes.
Mm.
Some cool things, some not so cool things. I love the whole Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing with Dude Face,
mm-hmm.
with Skye's father. I thought it was kind of lame. It was like, oh, honey, you don't have to. I'll do it for you. Snap. What? Such a anticlimactic way for her to go. I love the fact that she was a vampire-ish. That I actually was like, yeah, she's got to do something. It's got to be weird. It's got to be something like, oh my god, she sucks life out of people. Mm-hmm. Wait, she's a politician. Wait, she was a politician. I'm going to miss her. I liked her.
Well, can I spoil it?
She's gone.
No, which one?
The mom. Sarah Sky's mom.
Yeah. No, yeah. No, that one, yes, yes.
Yeah, she did. She did, like, dong.
Yeah. No, but the Simmons.
Fitzsimmons, yes.
No, Simmons.
Simmons is the girl, Fitz is the guy.
Yeah, and that the girl is who I'm referring to, the ending with her.
Do you know who she is?
I'm trying to figure that one out.
Okay, so you've never watched the credits as it rolls through the screen?
No, I can't say I've actually sat back and...
Her name is, if I remember correctly, Elizabeth Hensridge.
Uh-huh.
Do you know who Natasha Hensridge is? Species.
Oh.
Sisters.
Oh.
I love shit like that.
Oh.
Okay, so the ending with Simmons.
Yeah. I'm just... Now, okay, I'm having to go back.
Which ending, by the way? Just for reminding people who may not know.
That was a freaky ending.
What? The gobbled up. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't even know what the goo is.
Well, and see, that's the thing. Here's the funny part. I got my wife addicted to it, so we're watching the first season, June 11th. Well, tomorrow, actually. Season 2 will be on Netflix.
Season 2 of what?
Of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, okay.
They're releasing it that fast.
Yeah. Sorry, I was thinking, what are you talking about season 2? This was season 2. Oh, yeah. Okay, right.
So,
okay.
So I'm watching season 1 with her again, and that goo was kind of technically there before. If you remember, I think it was fourth episode where they go to find that one professor. Or maybe it's second or third episode.
It's a different goo.
They never go back to it.
No, this is a different goo. The goo that they had has been on the aircraft carrier for decades.
Right. But the one that they found and sucked up the other guy, it was identical.
Okay, which sucked up which guy? What are you talking about?
Okay, remember the episode where you see the semi driving down the road and all of a sudden just gets picked up in the air and there's...
Oh, that was with the invisible thing.
Yeah, and it turns out it was the it was this I can't remember what they called the thing, but it was like an antimatter type stuff. And
yes, different goo.
But it did similar things to him, and of course, like I said, just was never brought back out.
Yep.
So.
Different goo.
Okay.
The goo on the ship, that's actually probably a sentient creature that lives probably, I'm just guessing, it's probably a sentient creature that's living, extruding a part of its consciousness into a three-dimensional space, and it's probably actually a four-dimensional being. Or something thereof.
I will say, though, I got my wife addicted to it.
Well, of course. Did she smack you in the back of the head, too, when you went, nope?
No, she was frustrated. I said, okay, time for radio shows. No! Oh, sorry.
Gotta take priorities, right?
Right?
Yeah.
However, I did start a series that's on Netflix.
Daredevil?
No, they haven't come out with season 2 of that yet.
Ah, well, we'll come back to that.
Yeah, Sense8.
Sense what?
Sense8.
Sense8.
Yeah, this is this new series, and basically what it's about is there's these 8 individuals that are somehow connected. And so they can kind of project themselves right there next to each other, can feel, smell, taste, all this kind of... I'm at a point right now, it's still hard to comprehend the whole thing, but the entire first season's on there. There is some parts of it you just have to either... What I've been doing is fast-forwarding, but it's just... Yeah. It's like girl-on-girl action or guy...
Hey, what now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's mature audience programming.
Okay, sign me up. I'll watch that with a giggle cup going.
It's the very first episode. They literally have these two women going at it, and this one just after they're done, you know, undoes the strap on and throws it on the ground, and you see.
Well, hold on.
Huh?
Strap on.
Uh huh.
Okay, I'm not going to explore that.
Yeah, like I said, once you get past these few scenes, it starts off with Daryl Hannah, though. And
who doesn't like a good old-fashioned Daryl Hannah?
Oh, man, dude.
A handful of Hannah.
She puts a gun in her mouth.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to watch it to start.
Does she go boom?
She does go boom.
So I guess her contract was very short?
No, because she pops up in episodes still.
Oh, I hate when they do that. It's what they did with Desperate Housewives. It's what they did with American Horror.
Did you ever watch Lost?
Yes, they did that in Lost, too.
Okay, but you remember the one guy that had the mysterious past? You know, everybody kept thinking he was a terrorist and so forth. I can't think of his name at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But you know which one I'm talking about, mm-hmm. right?
Dark-haired guy.
Yeah. No, curly hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's...
Saeed.
Yes, there you go. Thank you. He's in here. But he's kind of the one that's appearing to at least this one cop in Chicago and slowly telling him what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Step by step.
Slowly he turned.
Well, there was this one awesome scene episode. It was like
I was making reference to an Abbott and Costello movie.
I know which one you're talking.
Okay, fine. Making sure.
The third episode has this amazing fight scene where two of the people basically kind of fill in for this one guy, and you know, so you got the cop, and then you got this chick from Korea that you know. Kick butt, and it's just like wow. So it's got some good moments, and then it's got moments that you know I'm still trying to figure out.
Okay, well I'll think about trying to find that one then.
Yeah, well believe it or not, a couple of the people on the station have started watching it.
Yeah, but you remember I don't actually follow the trends. I try to make my own, and then when nobody else is following me, I say screw that shit. I'm going this way anyways.
Well, I mean...
And then other people follow afterwards. See? Walking Dead. Cookies. Me. That was all me.
I know. That's still a crazy coincidence.
That's like... I'm taking credit for whenever I see those people. It's like, you guys have been following me, stealing my ideas. What are you talking about? Cookies? Seriously? By the way, do you know what pop figures are?
Aren't these new ones that are coming out that look like the characters?
Not that new, but okay, yes.
Well, you know which ones I'm talking about.
They got a Cookie Monster one coming out. It's mine. I'm getting it. It's mine.
I saw that, and I saw something that they're talking about Miss Piggy lately. I don't know what's the deal with that.
Well, the Miss Piggy one came out a while ago. Oh, no. The Miss Piggy's coming out with Kermit, Fozzie. Yeah. Do you know that they're putting out a new show for the Muppets? Woo! Bum-ba-na-ma-na. Bum-ba-na-ma.
Ma-na-ma-na.
Exactly.
Well, so, I know they're coming back with the old, you know, kind of redoing the old show type thing, but mm-hmm. happening now, you know, type thing.
It's happening soon.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to it. It will be a rush.
I'm excited. I want to see it, what it becomes.
I'm also excited and disappointed, but excited and hopeful, but still probably going to be disappointed when it comes out. But they're also, I love how we always use the they. They are doing this. Who is they? I don't know. Some guy's in a room, probably wearing a suit, and one guy's wearing a tie. It's probably a bolo tie with little strings, got little things on the end. That's who they are. They're bringing back Reboot! One of my favorite animated TV shows.
I forgot to tell you. You know who's directing the series, Sense8?
Who?
The Wachowskis.
Okay.
I know I didn't say their name right. The people who directed...
It's close enough. We know who you're talking about.
Yeah, them people.
Just forget about the spoon. There is no spoon.
Them people.
I'm going to mention that if we're going to go on that... No, screw that. I'm going to go on to the other thing. Saw a really cool movie.
What'd you see?
The Lazarus Effect.
I heard reviews about this. I'm on the edge on this.
So basically, it's a reimagining execution. Hey, we don't really know what that movie was, but it's like, we're going to come up with our own idea of it anyways, of Flatliners.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, no, we were talking about Reboot. Reboot, yes. Thank you, Keenan. He reminded me. Reboot. I'm excited because I loved Reboot, but I'm probably going to be disappointed because they've already changed the idea and the storyline. Now there's going to be live-action humans from the mainframe who actually, it's going to be some live-action segments with them in real world, and then everything in the mainframe system is going to be animated. And they're going to be guardians. But it's kind of like, if they're guardians, how is it that they're human and guardians? And I don't get it. But Bob, Enzo, Matrix, and Megabyte will be back.
Interesting.
So, I'm hoping for good things, but I fear I'm going to be disappointed again. And now, back to the Lazarus effect. Ding. So, do you remember how I was really disappointed with the way Lucy was?
Yes.
Like, it's a really huge concept idea movie that really seems like it's only explored in part in a small... like, you're looking at the huge sun up there, but you're really looking at it through a piece of paper, the pinhole.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Lucy always felt like to me. It's a really huge, huge, huge movie, but it's being shot and shown in just a very small thing. The Lazarus Effect actually incorporates some of the concepts from Lucy, and it's in a horror story environment, so you really only see little bits and pieces, but they're only the little bits and pieces that actually are there. So the big story elements that they tried to explore in Lucy, all of this other big stuff, and they tried to really touch upon it. It's like, it just didn't work that way. In Lazarus Effect, it does.
So they opened it all up and there.
No. They didn't open any of it up. They closed it all down.
Oh?
The whole thing about the 10% of the brain and unlocking and unleashing the brain's potential and capacity was, you go from existence, mundane, in the box, slow, simple, contained, and whatever. And then what if you now have a left center where you go and think, what kind of nightmares will you be witness to? What kind of nightmares will you be able to bring forth? What kind of nightmares will you see from others and say, hey, that's tasty?
Mm-hmm. I don't know any nightmares I would just say, hey, that's tasty.
If you're evil... nightmares are tasty.
Okay.
That's the whole point. It's the path towards redemption is not necessarily always a simple path. Sometimes that path is, yeah, no.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that when you said nightmares are tasty.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It's like, yeah, you want to be the good person, you want to be the good person, you want to save everybody. Oh, look, I dropped a level and now I'm actually the evil bad person. I'm going to kill everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really well-done movie. I liked it.
Okay.
Like, it's got a right amount of atmosphere. It's got the right amount of scary, creepy shit. And it's got the right amount of little bit of action, a little bit of science, a little bit of stuff. I did not once get pulled out of the movie enough to say, no, that couldn't possibly be like that. Like, it does a beautiful segue between the science, and it incorporates some of the religious aspects or the beliefs of religion rather than actual Christianity or any other type of religion involved in it. It's more how people believe in things, and that belief modifies and controls a lot of the way that people go through their life and the lives with others around them.
Mm-hmm.
It was really cool.
Mm.
I highly recommend it. Because Flatliners to me was kind of a flat movie. It was like, yeah, it was okay.
Well, it was okay for its time. I mean, that's what it really was good for, was its time.
It was exploring the opportunity and possibilities of stuff like that. It's like, oh, hey, cool, let's look at this shit. It's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, and okay, that seems like it would work for then.
Yeah. So, I highly recommend The Lazarus Effect. It's been out for a couple years. I think it came out in 2013. Olivia Wilde's on it. She's cute. I like her.
I like her, yes.
All the rest of them in the movie is like, well, they're nice people. They're good actors. I mean, everybody was believable. I don't know any of them.
Wait, 2013? This would have been when she was leaving house.
Sure, okay. Or hey, turn that thing off. Wait. Huh? Turn my thing back on.
What?
Turn that off.
Turn what
ding
off?
Dong. The witch is dead, doesn't have a head.
Okay.
Okay, so I think it's time for some intermezzo time.
I think the zombie has lost.
Intermezzo time.
Oh. Okay.
Rumpelstiltskin! And by the way, for that's for everybody who's in there, understands and who knows, that was a band called Hatchet, not to be confused with Molly Hatchet. That's a completely other different kind of band. The song was called March of the Dead.
I was confused because I thought...
I know. I heard. I saw. I read. I thought.
I was all excited. I was like, yes, some Molly Hatchet tonight. And then I got that.
Then you got the speed metal going. It's like, that don't sound like some funky arsed southern rock stuff. No.
I still don't think they sound like southern rock. But
they are southern rock.
Well, no, I
totally southern rock.
I know they're classified as it, but I just didn't think they were. I don't think so. I mean, I've heard. See, when you talk about classic rock, first thing I think of is Lynyrd Skynyrd. Then you compare that next to Molly Hatchet, and you're just like, mm-mm, no, not quite.
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
Mm-hmm.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
Not in this world.
Same kind of guitars, man.
I'm not going there.
Same kind of guitars, bro. But we're moving on.
Guitars on all kinds of music, yes.
We're moving on, because you know what? Bart Simpson will die.
Yes, he will.
And I'm going to be okay with that. But... did you hear this other comic book news?
Which one?
Jon Bernthal is going to be cast as the Punisher in Daredevil Season 2.
Really?
I think that is an awesome choice. He looks... he may have to bulk up a bit in the muscles and stuff, but I think he's the... ooh, nobody likes him. As he's always playing the bad guy,
right,
of some sort. It's like he plays the dickiest characters you can possibly imagine. Shane from The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
He'd be perfect as the Punisher.
Oh, yeah. He's notorious for being the character you just want to hate.
I think he's going to do well. Because he's a really good actor. I mean, from what I understand, he's a really nice guy in real life. He just plays characters that are pure dicks.
Well, see, and I want to know, I mean, I'd love to get an actor one day who does that and just ask him, dude, what's it like to just have that hated character personality about you?
Oh, there's been a number. Oh, I can't remember who last. There's one guy I read an interview on him. They were talking about that. It's like, yeah, I always go for the bad guys. Why? Because everybody talks about the bad guys. Everybody always identifies with the bad guy for some reason, because it's either they want to be the bad guy or they want to be the guy that overcomes the bad guy. And everybody wants to know more about the bad guy. And it's just, that's the thing.
That makes sense. I can't be opposed to that. That actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. It's like, whatever. But, yeah, I think he's going to be a perfect shoe-in shot for that.
Yeah, I can't wait. Did they have a release date yet? Because I still have yet to...
Oh, you're looking at least a year away.
Still.
Yeah, oh, definitely. They took a year to make the first season. It's like, I'm glad they did, because they did an awesome job of it. When companies, production companies, whatever, try and rush everything, oh, we gotta do it quick because people want to see another one and we're going to make money, tons and tons of the money, so let's do another one real quick. It's like, dudes, that sucked. Oh, we're going to take our time and make it right? Dudes, I like you better.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think, though, aren't they kind of, they want to stretch it out this way because of the others that are coming into play?
Well, the other three are already in sequence, and Daredevil 2 will probably, I don't know, I don't have any firm information on it. I would imagine that they'll try and probably slot it in between the other ones coming out, but the other ones are all pretty much, like, they're already in production. Like, if they're not most of the way done already, they're pretty much on their way. But the inclusion of Punisher into Daredevil is a continuation of, what was it, about 2 months ago, a month ago or something like that, where Marvel reacquired the rights to a handful of their old characters that were sold off to Sony. Sony? Fox, Universal, I can't remember which one they were sold off to. But they got back Ghost Rider, Punisher, Blade, and a couple of other things.
Wait, they got Ghost Rider back?
Yes, yes.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying. I would be excited as all hell for a Netflix original series with Ghost Rider where he doesn't have to flame on every time. You know, it's just that whole, the possibility of it happening, or just happening once every few episodes, that would be cool enough for me.
Right.
Like, I don't need to see the Flame Skull every episode. It just has to be the possibility of the Flame Skull every episode. That would be enough to get me going for that. Especially if it's done right. I mean, it's a biker story, you know? Yeah. It can be easily done. I mean, they've shown that a gritty story, something really dirty, really grab you by the cojones, can be done as a really good story. I mean, Daredevil has proved that you don't need to have huge amounts of special effects to make an awesome story.
Right. Well, so we still got, and of course, I don't know dates as of yet because they're still on Netflix as coming soon. But you still got Iron Fist, Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage.
Yeah, and the Defenders movie.
And then the Defenders, yeah.
Yeah. Misa's excited. Misa wants to say, well, you know, the Punisher is just being introduced because they can. That doesn't necessarily mean, like, they're probably nowhere near getting the Daredevil Season 2 ready to go. Right now, they're just starting to flesh out storylines, probably. It's like, okay, it's going to be Punisher and Daredevil, and possibly one or two other guest appear characters that are going to expand that whole universe. Yeah, yeah, I was doing the big voice. Expand the universe.
Uh-huh. Is that as that was? Oh, okay.
Yes.
No, I have to agree with you. I do see that they're, you know, they're really trying to... I don't want to use the same words as saying expand, like you're saying, because obviously they are. But what I see also with what they're doing is they're trying, to me, it looks like they're trying to reawaken the entire world of comics again and saying, hey, look, you know, you could have, and, you know, get people back with their hopes up about having such, you know, famous or, no, I don't want to say famous, you know, but their favorite superheroes, you know, right back there in line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you got to be careful on the words because I I know these people who are very adamant, like zombies.
I don't know what you're talking about.
They know it better than a lot of us. You know, I mean, I honestly would probably say the wrong things, which I've done in the past, but not on this show. No, never, not on this show.
Okay, now I'm confused. What wrong things are you talking about?
I've never said anything wrong. Never. Mm-mm.
Really?
Never.
Okay. Let me roll back the tape and play that one back again. Okay. We'll do that at a later show.
Right.
So I also wanted to mention that I'm also really excited for a new movie coming out this weekend.
Well, which one's coming out this weekend?
It's a cool, awesome thing.
Uh-huh.
It's really cool. Comes out this weekend.
Okay.
In theaters.
Curiosity is rolling.
Is it?
Yes.
I'm very disappointed in you right now.
There's a lot of things that are coming out in theaters without me having to go and dig it up.
This weekend. This weekend. Right now.
Oh, I know which one it is.
Yes. No, you don't. It's very disappointed in you.
Jurassic World.
No.
No?
It's Vendetta. The next Soska Sisters movie.
Really?
Yes. It has Dean Cain and the Big Show in it.
I don't know about this one.
Oh, dude.
Really, I don't.
Yes, well, you need to know. You need to find out. Look up this movie, Vendetta. The Soska Sisters do it with WWDE, the www.www.www.e.
Isn't there a dot in there somewhere?
Who?
A dot?
No.
Oh, okay.
No dots. See, dot this, man.
Keenan said it, too. Jurassic World does release this weekend.
I know it does. But that's not the movie I'm really excited about.
See, that wasn't the one I was thinking.
I mind-tricked you all. I have small little worms implanted all of your brains now. You're all going to be mine, zombified. As I flitter my hands up and down, back and forth like jazz hands.
You know, I'm kind of more disturbed at the fact that you have worms.
That I have more what? Worms?
That you have worms.
Everybody has worms.
Ew.
You don't know that, do you? You got a couple of them living inside your tum-tum.
Yeah, I think we have a little more than just a couple.
Yeah, well, there's like... We won't go into the technical terms.
Right?
However, I am looking forward to Jurassic World as well. I might actually go see that this weekend. I don't know.
I'm not 100% sure I want to go take the hype of seeing it in theaters, even though I do agree something that's that large on screen is worth seeing in theaters. But the there's been times that we've gotten the movies that seem like they're the hype for theater and just really wasn't worth it, you know?
This, I think, is the first year that I have most times actually gone to the theater, like advance first time run films. Mm-hmm. Let's see, what have I watched this year? Avengers. Oh man, what the hell was the other ones?
See,
Mad Max.
Mad Max. Okay, I was.
There's like five of them this year that I'll be going to see.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of them all here right now.
And I think most years it's like, okay, I don't watch it the first time it's out, or I watch it like a couple weeks later, or I watch it on Cheap Tuesday, or I'll go to a rep theater that when it's playing outside of the original release dates, or I'll even just wait till it's on DVD or whatever.
Right.
Or watch it on video demand or whatever the case may be. But this year is like, there's been, Godzilla was last year. Right, Godzilla was like the second. Last year was like the second most times that I did it, because I went and saw Godzilla, Guardians of the Galaxy, Smog. Yeah, it's just wacky.
Did you watch Transformers last year?
I did, but not in first run theater role. First. I saw that like maybe about 5-6 weeks after it was out.
Yeah, I can't think of all the films out there that are coming out this year. That's yeah. I'm trying to put them all in my head, and I can't. I did watch Kingsman this weekend.
Kingsman's awesome movie.
It really was. I was impressed with it.
I was so surprised. I thought it was going to be corny as hell.
Yeah, and you lied, but I'm not going to say to what. Now people are going to have to watch to see what you
what
lied
What part
about.
Did I lie about?
It's a particular character not cursing the whole film.
Who said not cursing?
You.
I did not say nothing about not cursing.
We're going to have to go back on that episode and find.
Nah, I said he talks with a lisp.
You did, and you said he never once said a curse word.
Oh, he never said the mutter thing.
No, you said he
cursed.
Never cursed.
No, you must have misheard what I said.
Because when I heard him start spilling, I was like, well, that's typical of him.
Yeah, but not,
he
yeah.
He didn't say that.
You did see my favorite line, right?
There was a couple of them, I figured.
Oh, there's a whole bunch of them, but there's one that always stands out for me that I absolutely howled so loud, I'm sure both my neighbors heard me.
Which ones?
Okay, so you know how the princess is stuck in the cell?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, princess,
oh, yes.
I save
yes.
you. Oh, okay. Oh, wait, sorry, I've got to go save the world. Oh, well, if you come back and save the world, we can do it in the ass.
Yes.
That was hilarious, man. The deadpan complete delivery on that was like, that's just perfect.
Oh, the kid's face was just a
prime. It lit up. It's like, well, I have to go now, don't I? I'll be right back. Yeah, I was like, oh my god, that shit's perfect. I love it when they do that.
That was just priceless.
I was talking to a friend yesterday as well about a radio commercial on, I don't know if it's how widespread it is, but I know it plays here, and they're talking about an ant spray or whatever for killing ants, you know, in your house or whatever, and the lady on the thing that's doing the delivery is like, yes, I killed them. I killed them all. Complete deadpan like that. It's like, wait, is she psychotic? No, she's talking about ants. Yes! The delivery is awesomely perfect. It's like, yeah, I love it when they can do that. When they can hit that nail so well, it's like you don't care what product it is they're selling. It's just hilarious.
Right.
And, I mean, I think this is part of the problem with marketing, has been for a long time. It's got to be something that actually catches you and makes you enjoy the message it's trying to say. Because it's pointless anyways. I mean, everything in marketing, everything in advertising, it's truly pointless. Because all it's trying to do is convince you, it's like, yeah, you need this. It's like, no, I don't. I'll need what I need, and I'll pick what I want, and I'll go get what I want when I want it. Not when you ask me to get it. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. So when you can make me laugh, I like your company better.
Right. Yeah.
that's just my thinking as far as marketing is concerned. Because for the most part, I tune most marketing and advertisements out. I mean, I can look at a page and like, oh, hey, flower. Flower doesn't mean anything to me. Bye. See ya. Go.
Which kind of flower, though?
Doesn't matter. I don't like flowers.
You mean, but cooking flour, you know, for gravy or...
No.
No? No?
No.
Biscuits and gravy?
No.
No?
But something else is coming out soon, too. Something I'm part of.
I bet... I have a feeling I know what it is.
Do you?
I think I do.
It's Doctors in Hell.
Ah, yeah. And you know what's even more cooler?
Hell?
No. They'll be live on the air.
Hey, you know what? I've heard that they're coming on your show soon.
Yes.
They were on my show a while ago.
I remember that.
Yes.
It was a fun show.
I liked it. I had fun with it.
I think so.
Yeah. They had fun with it, too. They told me so.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So, Doctors in Hell, if you're not familiar with it, is the 18th. 18th! Can you dig that number? 18th book in the Heroes in Hell series.
Isn't that crazy, though? I mean, 18 series so far.
Yeah, well, what's even crazier is that the first 13 books were all done in, like, 1986 to 1989, mm-hmm. which back then was a ridiculous kind of publication schedule, because, like, what, that's every 3 to 4 months or whatever they're releasing a book.
Yeah, but back then, you know, you were an author and your books were wanted, that's pretty much close to the schedule you had to have them out at.
No, okay. The original books were put out by Bantam Race, I can't remember who. But the authors, they didn't have the ability like we do nowadays with the computer systems and information technology stuff to exchange. Here's my story. I'm going to be doing a story about so-and-so. Shared World Anthology. By the way, if I'm introducing you to new terms, Shared World Anthology is what the Heroes in Hell series is about, is that I have a character, they have a character, we all have characters, and all of our stories know that the other characters are there, and sometimes they interact. So my character might hand off to your story, your character might hand off to their story, their story might have 300 or 400 characters that hand off into this story, and it can all interconnect, interrelate. Back then, how the hell did you communicate with that? You had to pick up a phone and talk to people about this stuff.
Right, yeah, because you're right. I didn't think about that on the technology side.
Yeah, because that was one of the things that me and the Morrises talked about, was how did you interconnect with people back then? It was like, that was difficult. You'd send a manuscript to somebody, and it would take 3-4 weeks before you got the responses back. And nowadays, if your print schedule is, yeah, it's due next Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can't FedEx you this package. It's going to be $100. Can't afford that kind of thing. And nowadays, like, did it? Got it? Yep, I got it. Cool.
Yeah.
Technology helps that kind of crap so much easier nowadays.
Yeah, well, can you imagine what the publishers really had to go through back then when they got so many submissions? I mean, it was just like this heaping pile of books, you know, that they have to kind of read. Yeah, well.
Well, I'm sure that the heaping piles, there was fewer of them then than there are now, because now everybody thinks that they can be a writer.
Well, this is true, but then again, anyone does have the possibility, especially with technology the way it's evolved today, people can actually break into blogs and all these other stuff. So mm-hmm. they believe that they're not only just into the world of writing, but now maybe they can do a YouTube video or a video blog.
Of course I can do a YouTube video.
Now I'm in the world of film. I'm a film person, you know.
I'm a film person.
Are you?
Yes.
Are you really?
I just have to get my name in IMDb sometime.
I actually had an IMDb page.
You say that with had.
Yep, I shut it down.
Oh, well, okay. So, Doctors in Hell, 18th book in the series about old people in hell. Anybody from, say, I don't know, how far back do I remember somebody? My brain is completely crashing on that. You know what? I can actually just look at a book and see somebody who's in that book, that story. Let's see. Shakespeare, Napoleon, Hecate, Lysicles. Oh, hey, Caliban. That's one of my characters. Odysseus, all of these characters, classical Greek characters, classical Roman. We've got a bunch of Japanese and Chinese characters this time around, Norse characters, all sorts of people, all walks of life, all kinds of things. But ultimately speaking, doctory type related in this particular volume. I know Dr. Frankenstein shows up.
Interesting. Well, I have to ask you a question because there is a book before it that, of course, I'm not going to say the name right. I know I'm going to slaughter it, so you'll be able to correct me on this. And I'm not sure if you're in it. That's why I'm bringing it up to ask. But Heroica?
Heroica.
Heroica.
I did not have enough time to submit a story to Heroica.
Ah.
But I do know about it. It's the same team who do the Heroes in Hell series. Yes. And it's about, hey, how do you cook a dragon?
Okay, because I saw the Dragon Eaters, and I was kind of curious about that myself.
Yeah, well, it's a bunch of different types of stories about, I can't really comment too much on it, because I haven't actually read it yet. But the idea was military... different types of military, medieval military, modern military, future military, guys who are like special forces troops who go after dragons.
Right.
You know, so there's different kinds of things there. It's a fun idea. I mean, the concept was awesome. The story idea that I was going to put through probably wouldn't have fit, but I just didn't even have time to finish putting it together, so I didn't. I might be in the next one, but I don't know. It all depends if I can get a story together in time.
I'm a huge fan of dragons. I actually, before they shut down MySpace in the beginning, I actually had a short story of a, you know, vampiric dragon is what I actually called it, and it was on there.
Mister, I like vampires.
Yes, I do, but I don't like them the way you think. You know, I mean...
I'm okay, Mister My Little Pony.
Mm-mm.
Did not you know what? That they? I saw a picture the other day of a My Little Pony blow-up sex doll.
Oh, my God.
And I thought, yeah, I didn't need to see that or know that somebody had actually done that. But I'm moving back to Doctors in Hell because I got like seven minutes left here. Doctors in Hell. My story, I was trying to go for something a little bit different on some of the other hero stories because I'm in like three of the other books before that as well. Poets in Hell, Dreamers in Hell, and Rogues in Hell. By the way, Jack, one of our regular guests in the chat room, he's in Lawyers in Hell as well, which is the other book before that one. So he's in that. And he's also got a story in Heroica as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know he has one there.
Yeah. So my story, all of the Heroes in Hell stories are pretty, they're either action-oriented or they're very, classical content of word just flew away from me. I had it in my head. I saw it right there. It was the next word I was going to say, and then it went whoosh. Conflict, that was the word. Classical conflicts between different characters. I mean, you got Napoleon, you got Wellington, and their buddies.
Mm-hmm.
And Wellington's working for the Queen of England, and Napoleon's working for Satan. So, I mean, they're both working for Satan, whatever. Doing their stuff and stuff. But my story, I was going to originally try and do it as a talking head story. It's two characters just talking about stuff back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Basically, that's still the same thing, but it's now there's more to it, and it's not just them talking back and forth. It is Sigmund Freud and Ivan Pavlov.
Hmm.
So if you know who they are, they're all psychiatric type guys, smart brain head peoples. And, well, everybody's got issues, because if you're in hell, you're probably there for a good reason, right?
Right.
Did you know that Ivan Pavlov used to experiment on little children?
And wouldn't that surprise me? Because, I mean, he put a cat in a box. I'm sure he would probably say, why not put a kid in a box?
Yeah, the cat in the box and the dogs in the cage, they were the least of the things he did.
Wow. That's...
Yeah. But he did prove... summarily and absolutely that your taste buds generate a necessitating response to your stomach that says, oh, food, I'm hungry, I want to eat that.
Hmm.
it was a big thing. It was like whole the connection between the intellectual reasoning and rationalizing about that versus the physical stimuli that says, oh, food.
So you do some pretty heavy research for this.
I do a little bit of research, and then I just go, and as I'm typing out, I say, hey, would he do this? Oh, he might. Okay, cool. Yeah, but it depends. Stories are weirdly weird for me sometimes. Sometimes I do absolutely zero research, and I just go, I had the characters, I made them up anyway, so I was like, now the science should be real. Yeah, okay, so a ball falling 50 meters per second would go, okay, let's get the math. Okay, yeah, so it'll take 5 minutes to get there. Okay, good. And I would do that as research. But something like this, yeah, I read a bunch about Pavlov and Freud a bit beforehand. And it was like, okay, get inside their heads. Crap, I'm inside their heads. What the hell? This is a weird space, man. So, that was my Doctors in Hell story, and I'm sticking to it. I'm really excited about it. I'm going to have a video come out soon, too, to support it. So everybody should watch it and share it when I do that. And share the book covers when I send it too, because the sharing is caring and zombie power. Woohoo!
Now the book's already out, right?
No, the book's out for pre-order right now.
Oh, okay. Because I've seen the cover and everything. I was just...
Oh yeah, the cover's been released. It's out for pre-order. It's officially out for order on June 22nd, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and Hororica is out already.
Yes, that is out. We'll be talking about.
Yeah, you can talk to the, you can talk with them about that. I'm sure they will enjoy talking about that one.
I'm anxious to see, you know, I mean, because there's a lot that they've got going on. So we're going to be talking about quite a bit of stuff, including things that you might, well, I mean, I'm sure you probably know, but others might not know.
Oh, I know some other stuff that they won't talk about and tell you about.
Yeah, I'm sure, because I was told certain things I can't talk about. So
exactly. Don't even mention that stuff, because you could die.
I don't even want to be in the next... I mean, don't get me wrong. I want to be an author in a book, but I don't want to be one of the characters in the book, if you know what I mean.
Oh, no, no. There's a rule. The characters must have died before the 1900s.
Yeah, no. I mean, future books could be future deaths.
Yeah, there are other books. Oh, How to Kill EW. Let's count the ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, yes. Don't do that. So... Show's about over. Nah, I got 2 minutes. I can kill 2 minutes. La di la di da da la. Rumpelstiltskin.
You know who's going to be on next?
Who's going to be? I don't know. I want to say one more thing.
Uh huh.
One more news bit.
Uh huh.
Remember that Star Wars movie came out in 70 something?
Yeah.
Guess what happened recently this week?
They redid it.
No, some dude found the original Star Wars script in a library.
No way.
Yep, and it's even crazier is that it's a Canadian library out in the Maritimes area, which like, it's not a library that you can go in and walk in and sign up books or whatever. It's an archival library where they store stuff, and it's there for future purposes and ridiculous. Oh, hey, can we look at this book? It's like, yeah, there we go. You can, whatever. But it's not like you just walk in and borrow the book sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a public library. It's actually a private archival library. But yeah, the guy was like, yeah, I'm just cataloging the stuff we got here because we always get all these books all the time. And stuff has been sitting here for years and years and years and years. And he's like, what the hell is it? Oh my God, this is the original Star Wars script.
Well, that'll be.
Because you know that a lot of the storyline in the movie has actually changed. The right. expression, may the force be with you, was originally, may the force of others be with you.
Interesting.
Yeah, so there was a comic book series that was released about a year ago now called Star Wars The Original Stories, and it's actually the original take on Star Wars.
Well, I'll be.
And it's drastically different.
Speaking of drastic.
Drastic.
Yep.
It's the end of the show.
It is.
Thanks, everybody, for coming out to the show. I appreciate it tremendously. I want you to keep sharing all the stuff on the Facebooks and the other Twitter-type things and whatever. Come to the webpage. Come to the Facebook. Come to the happy place, wherever that might be. Thanks for coming out. EW, thanks for joining me again.
Yes, sir.
People in the chat room, thanks for chatting. Everybody, have yourself an amazing After Rotten Image good time.
Of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their picnic.